Hey guys, I am very much looking forward to today's episode because it's about something that I spent most of my adult life doing and I will never have to do again. And that's dating. I'm married now, but I dated throughout most of my 20s and got married at age 30. So I feel like I have a lot of thoughts on the matter, on the topic of dating. And I'm excited to talk about it because I think that one of the sources of a lot of confusion, frustration, pain, lack of really success in some ways in our personal life, disillusionment, is misunderstandings around dating and the purpose of dating, how to date, what it's for, and really how to live love in our lives, how to find relationships and create relationships that are based on love. And this, of course, you know, especially means romantic relationships. And what does a romantic relationship even mean? So for today's episode, I will be talking about 6 principles for dating. 6 things that I think are really important to keep in mind when dating for a successful dating relationship, which will lead to long-term finding love, building a family. And also talk about love. What is love? And some thoughts on really the big picture of all of this in today's scene of love. I'll be drawing on my personal experiences. I'll be sharing just about things I've learned over the years. And I'll be talking a little bit philosophy, theology about what the point of all these things are and what love really means. So let's dive right in. First of all, there's a lot of confusion today about what is love. Is love a feeling? You know, people talk about falling in and out of love. We hear about the latest celebrity relationship to fall apart. And people say, this was a great divorce because we just weren't meant to be together anymore. So now we're happily apart. And then they meet somebody else and they pledge themselves to that person for life and their wedding vows. And then that happens again. And they say, oh, we just decided, made a loving choice to leave each other as friends. So what is love? Well, at its heart, love is not a feeling, although you can definitely have feelings of love for someone else. But at its heart, love is a desire or a choice that we make. So desire is not always a feeling. Sometimes our desire is really making a choice of our will. So making an action of our heart towards something, even if that something is not feeling good at the time, or even if it feels inconvenient to us or like a sacrifice. So love is when I am feeling tired or feeling like I don't want to, you know, worry about anybody else. I want to worry about only myself, but maybe I draw myself out of my own skin and I help make dinner for my husband. Or maybe love is when a mother is tired as well and, you know, her child needs help. And instead of listening to her own tiredness, she desires the good for her child. So she's going to take care of her child. Love can also mean we help somebody who's in need because we want the good for them and we go out of our way to help them, even if it's not convenient for us. So love is 2 things. Number one, love is wanting or willing the good of the beloved, the good of another person. We want it, we will it, the good of another person. Even to want it is a step towards love, but to take an action towards it is even greater action of love. And then number two, love is a desire for union with the beloved. When we love a child so much, we just want to scoop them up in our arms and smother them with kisses, that desire to be close to our beloved. When our grandparent is sick and suffering and we want to be with them, that we want to be close to our beloved. When we're dating someone and maybe we feel that as if we're falling in love with them, we feel the sense of wanting to be united to them in every way. So love leads us to wanting the good of the beloved or willing the good of the beloved. And then number two, desire for union with the beloved. And the highest form of love is our love of God, who is the author of all love. And God teaches us, God willed us unto life in the beginning, and he even gave us the gift of life, and he wants the good for us, which is why he wants eternal life with him in heaven. And also he wants eternal union with us in heaven. So the deepest form of love or the most intimate form of love is to be totally united with the one that we love. So these are 2 important principles to come back to as we talk about dating, because dating's ultimate purpose is eternal love for the other. And that might mean on earth, we marry them and that's what our calling is. That's what we choose to do. It's what they choose to do. Or it might mean we love them so much that we treat them with the respect and the care they deserve so that they can marry someone else in the future, or they might have a different path. And we are preparing ourselves to be the best we can be for when we do meet our future spouse and marry them. So we really look at the person, not with in the immediate moment, what can they do for us? How does this feel to us today? But we look at the person in terms of what is best for them long-term, what is best for us long-term, and ultimately desiring union with the beloved, meaning the one we want to marry ultimately. That might not be the person we're dating. We might discover it's not, or at least that the one we're dating or the one that we're interested in, we want them to be eternally happy in heaven forever. We don't want them to just die and their body to turn to dust, but we want every person to have eternal life and eternal bliss in heaven forever. So the ultimate end is for us all to be in communion together in heaven. That's the ultimate end of everything we do on earth. And we hope for that and we pray for that. And then that helps govern how we behave towards people here on earth. So love, two things: wanting the good, willing the good of the other, of the beloved. And number two, desire for union with the beloved. So what's the purpose of dating? Well, it's similar to love. We want the good of the other. We want their good. And ultimately, we want to be united with the person we're meant to marry. We want to be united with the person that we can choose in freedom to marry. So when we're dating, we want the good for the other person that we're dating, but we also acknowledge that they might not be that person we're going to marry or we're meant to marry. And so we have to proceed with that understanding and that recognition, that that sense of responsibility for both them and for ultimately the spouse that we hope to have one day. Before I dive into principles for dating, I need to include a couple important caveats. So first of all, I'm a Christian, I'm a Catholic, and I believe that marriage is not just some choice we make to stick it out with somebody for some time on earth and maybe have a family if we choose, but that marriage is a supernatural reality built on a natural reality that God designed. So just like God designed you for love and me for love and God is love, God also designed marriage as this uniting of two people, one man and one woman, to be committed to each other for as long as either of them both shall live, and to be faithful and to be open to love, to be open to the children that their love may bring. It's really important when we think about dating, because if you don't know what marriage is, if you don't know the point of marriage, if you don't know the reality of what marriage is meant to be, then you're going to have a lot of trouble dating. Dating will be really confusing because you're not even sure what the point of dating is. And if we don't have the understanding that there is marriage, that's the end game for romantic love, and it's meant to really bring two people into a union with each other. Remember, one of the principles of love is we desire for union with the beloved. Well, God teaches and Jesus Christ teaches us that marriage is this melding of two souls together, and that we are now one flesh. That's what God designed man and woman to come together in marriage and one flesh. And then Christ elevated that one flesh to a sacrament, which is this effected, lived out reality of his supernatural grace and his love. And it's been compared to marriage is a living out of Christ's love for the church. You know, Christ died for all humankind. Christ died for his church, his bride. Similarly, in marriage, you know, we are meant to give ourselves for our spouse. We're so united to them and sacrifice for them. And that's why the Christ and Christianity, Catholicism, has prohibitions against divorce. You can't just stop loving someone and decide, I'm going to leave. You are united with them forever. As long as you're alive, I should say, not forever, eternally, but you're united with them. You will be united with them eternally in all the communion of all the saints and the angels and God. But on earth, you're united with them for as long as you live. And that's a really, really important point. I'm actually going to do an episode just on marriage because there's so much to get into here and it's so rich and beautiful. But that's really important. If you're not clear about the point of marriage, it's going to be really hard to date. It's really natural. We are made with this innate desire to be united with another person in marriage. That's part of the way we were created. But if we don't really take the time to think through and learn about marriage, then we're going to have trouble dating. And if we have bad examples of dating and marriage in our personal life, like let's say our parents were divorced, let's say our parents were unfaithful, our father was unfaithful to our mother was, left our father, or let's say that the way they got married was not with intention and not before God. Maybe it was just a civil marriage and maybe they just did it because they felt they had to. Maybe they got pregnant or maybe they, it was just a matter of convenience or what everybody else was doing. Whatever the reasons were, maybe we have bad models of marriage. So that's why it's really important to take the time to take inventory of our own understanding of marriage and to take the time to really focus our mind on the beauty and the good and what marriage is supposed to be, the truth of marriage. That will help prepare us for dating. Okay, but let's dive into dating. So with that as the background, that marriage is meant to be this faithful, fruitful, lifelong union between a man and a woman before God. It's both natural and supernatural. Let's look at what dating is then. Number one, my first principle for dating is keep your focus on the purpose. Keep your focus on the purpose. Kind of goes back to what I just said. If we are not dating with purpose, our dating is going to go nuts on us, meaning we're going to be unsatisfied with our dating. Our dating is going to cause probably more problems for us than positives. And we're just going to be confused. And the person we're dating will probably be confused too. If we're dating and we're just hanging out with people, we're just doing it for fun. It's just kind of like a pastime. Maybe we're doing it to deal with our own sense of loneliness. Maybe we're dating to just kind of like, you know, mix it up a little bit, or we're dating because we just feel so unhappy with ourselves. It's a way to kind of discover self-esteem, is to feel like somebody else wants us or loves us. All of these things are not going to be satisfying in the end, and they're certainly not going to set us up for a successful marriage. We have to keep our focus on the purpose of dating. What is the purpose of dating? The purpose of dating is to get to know another person and to discern with them, to discover with them if they are a person, the person that we would choose, that we will choose to marry. That is the purpose of dating. There is no other purpose. Yes, there are other advantages to dating, like you just build friendships, like you learn more about yourself, you learn more about the other person, like you have beautiful experiences, like you, you just grow as a person. Those are all wonderful things, and those will happen innately, or those will happen for sure if you're also doing dating with purpose. Those are great advantages on the side, but the purpose of dating is to discover with another person, to discern with another person if you are called to marry them, if you are going to make the choice to marry them. That is the purpose of dating. So keep your mind on that purpose. That will then lead you to be intentional about how and who you date. If you're a guy, it means you're going to look at women, and I'm going to get to this in a few minutes as another principle, but you'll look at women who share your values, that you know are women that you could marry, that would make good wives and mothers to your children. And that means you're going to be intentional about when you ask them out. You're not going to leave them confused and guessing about what your intentions are when you want to get to know them. You'll say, I want to get to know you because, you know, I'm interested in you. And it'll be clear that this is not just you wanting to hang out with them as a friend, but that you're interested in getting to know them at a deeper level. Friendship, of course, can be very deep, but meaning you're interested to get to know them as a friend to potentially, you know, be with lifelong if you guys discern that and discover that. And if you're a woman, it means you're not going to, you know, have a lot of patience for the players, you know, for the people that are the guys that are just screwing around and wasting your time. You're going to be picky and say, if you are just wanting to hang out with me, or God forbid, you just want to, like, you know, be sexual with me and not really care about my soul and care about potential marriage one day, then you're off the list. I'm not going to respond to your texts or calls or, you know, Instagram direct messages or whatever ways men try to reach out to us today. Or, you know, I'm not going to be on Tinder because the guys on Tinder kind of stink. You know, they're not guys that are serious about dating or marriage. So forget you guys. I'm not going to waste my time and lower myself. So number one is keep your focus on the purpose. For dating, keep your focus on the purpose. What's the purpose? Discerning and discovering with another person if you're meant to marry, if you're meant to be with them lifelong. Okay, number two, kind of related to what I just said, but another important aspect is realize your responsibility to yourself and to that other person. Realize your responsibility. What do I mean? Listen, people are precious. People are eternal souls. People are made in God's image and likeness. And guess what? Every single person out there is your brother or your sister before God. Now, not your brother or your sister in the biological sense, in the natural sense, like, you know, that would be weird because you're going to be dating them and potentially marrying them, but they are your heavenly brother or sister. That means that they were created to one day potentially, if they choose it and if they're willing to accept Christ's love and redemption, to be in heaven with you forever. So how you treat people is so important in dating. That means a couple things. First of all, keep in mind that the person you're dating, if they're not your future spouse, they're probably somebody else's future spouse. So that means how you treat them emotionally and physically is a way how you're treating somebody else's future husband or wife. And similarly, the way that you're letting yourself be treated emotionally or physically is how you are, as somebody else's future spouse, being treated emotionally or physically. So that means you're not going to be having sex with or doing sexual things with someone you're not married to. I mean, as a Christian, as a Catholic, it's very clear that sexuality or full of sexual expression is the heart of our intimacy with our spouse. I mean, it's in the Catholic tradition, it's a sacrament. I mean, sex with your spouse is a sacrament. It is an actual sign of Christ's love for the church to the point of death. I mean, it's giving up your life for the other, giving your body fully to the other and receiving their body fully. That's not something you do with just some dude you're dating or some chick you're dating. That's not something you do with somebody you find on Tinder. That is a holy thing. That's a beautiful, natural thing. It's a holy thing. And the pleasure associated with it is something you're meant to share with one person lifelong. This doesn't mean that if you've made mistakes or you've, you know, had sex with other people in your past that you're a failure and a screw up and you can never make it right. Of course not. If you have been sexual in past dating relationships, you can change that for the future, period, full stop. If you're Catholic, you should go to confession and confess that, because sex before marriage, any sexual act, so basically extending sexual arousal on purpose with another person, that is a mortal sin. So that means we go to confession. We tell God that we reunited with God. If you're a Christian evangelical listening to this, you do the same thing as far as you confess it to your Father in heaven and you ask for forgiveness, because that's not the way that he designed our bodies and our relationships to be, just having sex with whomever in dating. He designed it for marriage. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing and a beautiful gift. So realize your responsibility to the other person and to yourself, that both is in our sexual treatment of the person and our sexual ethics. And it doesn't mean that sex is bad or gross. It's actually, sex is so amazing and so good that it's specially reserved for that one person lifelong that we trust, that we've chosen, that we've given ourselves to before God. That's how amazing sex is. The other flip side of this is not just sex, but it's also the way that we think and feel about the person. So it's our emotional purity or chastity. These words are often misunderstood in today's culture, but they have to do with treating the other person with the respect that they deserve and seeing them as the gift that they are from God, as we see ourselves as a gift, our bodies, our hearts, and our souls. And this idea of emotional purity or emotional responsibility means that we are not, you know, using this person as an object for our emotional fantasies, just like we shouldn't use a person we're dating as an object for our physical fantasies to be played out. But we're not using this person as an object for our emotional fantasies. That means we have it under control. You know, and we check ourselves if we're going crazy. If you're a lady, this can be especially important. Maybe you're dating a guy and you're like, oh my gosh, he'd make such a great husband and such a great father. And I can't wait to just get married to him. And, you know, is he the one? Well, listen, you don't know yet because you just started dating him. So take time to get to know him for him instead of him as a fulfillment of your fantasies or your deepest, you know, these deep longings that you've had. Take time to get to know him for him. Don't just make him an object of your fantasy. Make him a person in reality that you choose to get to know, love as he deserves, respect as he deserves, and get to know. And if you're a dude, if you're a guy, get to know her. Don't just look at her as an object for your fantasies or for your emotional satisfaction of having a beautiful woman on your arm or a cute girl that likes you. Get to know her for her, because part of loving someone is getting to know them and accepting them for all that they are. And if you're going to marry someone, if you're going to date with intention towards marriage and choose someone in marriage, you're accepting all of them, the good and the bad. And so your job in dating is to discover as much of them as you can. And that means not them sexually. That means not them, you know, how they make you feel with romantic things that they say or romantic things you guys do, but that means them in daily life. That means the ups and the downs. That means their hurts and their fears. That means their hopes and their joys. That means the daily things that make up a human life. That is what you are learning about. So realize your responsibility to yourself and to the other person. Keep in mind your future spouse. This is somebody else's future spouse, future wife or husband, and I am somebody's future wife or husband. So how I behave with this person should be in a way that if I end up marrying somebody else, I can meet this person on the street and yeah, it might be awkward for a second, but I'm not feeling all this guilt or weird feelings for the things I did or with this person because they were inappropriate. That's a great rule of thumb for how to treat the person you're dating. And again, one more time, if you've made mistakes, if you've screwed up, most of us have, almost all of us have in one way or another, then it's in your past. Resolve to do better. Get an accountability partner if you need somebody that you're accountable to, a spiritual director, a mentor, a friend, to keep your responsibility, your purity, your chastity in order when you're dating. It's a struggle in today's world. Today's world's hypersexualized. All these ideas of romantic love are very twisted often. So have the help you need to do this well, to realize your responsibility to yourself and to the other person. Okay, number three. Don't be afraid to break up. Don't be afraid to break up. This one I realize is really hard for people, and it's been hard for me and even in my dating experience, because when you're dating somebody, you are, you know, getting to know them. Maybe you go exclusive and you're really discerning, you know, is this a person I could marry? You're really getting to know them. And you're getting to really like them a lot. You feel like you might even love them, or you obviously love them in the Christian sense, but you're, you know, feeling all this romantic love towards them. And you are just getting to know their family, maybe. And anyways, it's also nice not to be alone, not to be single. You have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but you kind of are feeling like this is not right. You know, you have the sense things are starting to emerge that this is just not the right person for me. And I'll talk in a minute about some of that understanding to discover whether or not a person is right for you. But nonetheless, you're in a situation where you just have a sense this is not the right person. You are thinking about it. You realize a lot of things. You guys, your differences, your values aren't, you know, maybe there's certain values or a certain vision you have for your life, or the person just is not the right fit. There's all different reasons. So don't be afraid to break up. I think a lot of the times we're so terrified of being single. We're so afraid of just having to start over again that we don't want to break up. Well, it can be really hard, yes. But if you've done a good job about realizing your responsibility, so keeping emotional, physical chastity, and if you're focused on the purpose of dating, which is marriage, then that will help give you the courage to do what's right and to break up when it is the right time to break up. So don't be afraid to break up. Every breakup, every closed door is opening the door to something else. And keep in mind, it's you know, when you're dating someone exclusively, it's really hard to see or meet other people, you know? So your future spouse might be waiting for you right around the corner, but you're too busy dating somebody that you don't even want to be dating that you're not able to meet them. So do not be afraid to break up. It's hard, but like anything in life, hard things can bring good things, like going to the gym and working out, or taking a cold shower in the morning to wake yourself up, or eating healthy, or any of the things that are hard to do sometimes but can be really good for you. Don't be afraid to break up. Number four, pay attention to red flags. Keep in mind, only you can change you. You cannot change another person. The only person you have the power to change is yourself. You do not have the power to change another person. Don't convince yourself that you can. If you are dating someone and they have some addiction, maybe they have a sex addiction you discover. They are looking at porn regularly. Maybe they are a person who is just out of control with the way they approach finances, or they have no respect for elderly people, or maybe they have some sort of addiction or vice that is interfering with their daily life. That may be a red flag and a reason to break up. And I would go as far as saying, if they do have a sexual addiction, you should absolutely break up with them. And I define sexual addiction as somebody who is regularly looking at porn or masturbating or doing something that you would not want them to be doing as your future spouse. And do not think that getting married to them is going to make them change, because it won't. Getting married to them is going to make them the same person now married to you. So what you do in dating and how they behave in dating is how they're going to be in marriage. And actually, they might even be worse in marriage because they're not on their best behavior. Now, as a Catholic, as a Christian, I believe that marriage does give you sacramental graces to improve as a person from God. Those are special graces that are given to married people. But those graces are building on positive choices to do the right thing. If the person is stuck in sin and stuck in an addiction, then they're going to be really hard to receive those graces. So if they have an addiction, especially a sexual addiction, I would say break up with them, encourage them to get the help they need. And if they do and they heal, maybe in the future you can always date them again, but it's unlikely. But the point is, do not stay around with a red flag. Do not hang around a red flag for too long. Pay attention to red flags. And like number three, don't be afraid to break up. So that's really important. I think in our society today, we really lower our standards because we're afraid we're not going to meet another person. I think sometimes we stick it out with somebody that we shouldn't be sticking it out with because we are afraid that, you know, we'll be alone and we won't find somebody else. Don't be afraid. God created marriage. God created you. God can create the spouse for you. So do not be afraid to do the hard thing and to break up. Keep in mind that God is with you. God will protect you. And this sometimes is the most loving thing you can do, not just for yourself and your future spouse, but for the person you're dating. Because if you're, you know, dating a sex addict, for example, that's not necessarily good for them. You know, that they're effectively being enabled by you dating them because, you know, you're not taking it seriously enough to break up. And so they're just kind of continuing their addiction. And maybe you flatter yourself, oh, I can help them. I can maybe help them stop their sex addiction. No, they have to help themselves. You cannot stop somebody else's addiction. It is up to them. So I really am focusing right now on sex addictions just because it is a huge, huge problem out there. Most people do not talk about this enough, but there are so many people struggling with addiction today. And that's because most people, especially young men, are exposed to porn when they are like little kids, basically, when they are young teens, even before puberty. And so porn is everywhere. Sex is everywhere. You turn on HBO, you even watch Netflix, and there's like sex scenes. It's everywhere. And so it's really easy to form a sex addiction in today's culture. I feel really bad for people who struggle with this. I've known people who struggle with this. When you are struggling with a sex addiction, that is not the time to date and marry. It's the time to work on freedom from that addiction so that you are prepared to be able to date someone and marry someone. So if you are dating someone who has a sex addiction, do them the favor and the loving thing by stopping to date them and encouraging them to get the help that they need respectfully. And if you are somebody struggling with a sex addiction, I encourage you, there are people and resources out there that want to help you, that are there and to help you. And I can link some of those in the talk description for this dating episode, but I really encourage you to get the help that you need so that you are prepared to date and you are able to be in the position to date and eventually marry. Okay, so that was number four, pay attention to red flags. Number five, so I realize this might be a little out of order because I could have said number five as number, you know, three, because what I'm about to say is really the foundation for being courageous enough to break up or being able to pay attention to red flags. And number five Number five is shared values and vision. Number five is shared values and vision are essential. So shared values and vision are essential. You need to be with somebody when you date, and sometimes we don't know this when we start dating someone. We think they have shared values. We think their vision is the same, but once we start to date them, we realize, not the case. So, you know, you don't always know, and that's, of course, the point of dating is to discover and get to know somebody, but shared values and vision. So you want to date somebody who, first of all, believes the same things about marriage. So they're not somebody who's going to get divorced if they feel that they've fallen out of love. They're not somebody who's going to say, oh, I don't want any kids when we get married. You know, I just want to get sterilized or contraception. I don't want to have kids. Not having kids when you're married on purpose is not true marriage. That's just not true marriage. That's just like shacking up with a nice marriage certificate. That's what it is. The purpose of marriage, part of the purpose of marriage, and it's a blessing to have kids. Some people aren't capable of having kids. You know, they struggle with infertility. That doesn't mean that you are not living out marriage, but what the point of marriage is, one of the core essentials of marriage is to be open to life. To be open to it. That doesn't mean we're promised it when we get married and we might struggle with infertility or not be able to have kids, but to be open to life. So shared values and vision. If your person you're dating is not open to life, if they are not careful and if they're not interested in faith and growing in faith, if they're not honest and hardworking and willing to grow in virtue, if they don't have shared values, and a core part of our shared value is a shared faith, then this is not a good person to yoke yourself to for the rest of your life and to unite yourself to physically, mentally, and in every other spiritually, and to have kids with. I mean, sounds kind of obvious, but it's amazing how we have to say it because I think there's so much confusion around dating today. So shared values and vision is really, really important. Vision, what do I mean by vision? It's really important because God, I think, gives each of us a call within our call. So, you know, I think if you're listening to this, you probably feel called to get married, but you're also called within your marriage to maybe do other things. Maybe you feel called to, you know, maybe you feel like you're a dentist and you really feel called to just, you know, be an awesome dentist in Chicago or something. And that's kind of what you're doing right now. Well, if you're going to marry somebody and they hate you being a dentist, this is kind of a, maybe a dumb example, but they really can't stand your passion for dentistry. that doesn't mean they have to love going to the dentist. But the point is, like, if they really hate your job and you love your job and you feel called to it, or they really, you know, you want to work with the elderly and you love the elderly, but they can't stand it. Or there's some very serious divergence, like difference between the vision of the way you see yourself living out a life of love in your family versus their vision. That's something to pay attention to. That might not be a shared foundation upon which you can build a successful marriage. So those are the things to talk about when you're dating. Maybe the person you're dating wants to drop the kids off at daycare and they want you to have, you know, you're a woman and they want you to have a full-time job and they are going to have a full-time job. And maybe that's never what you envisioned. You want to be able to be a stay-at-home mom. Maybe you work part-time, but that's something really important to you. That's something to discuss. That's an important idea, important part of your future vision for your life. So it's not just values. I mean, values and vision, of course, are very interconnected, but it's not just, oh, they're Catholic, I'm Catholic, they're Christian, I'm Christian. You know, they want to be a good Christian, I want to be a Christian, but it's really unpacking, what does that mean? What do I envision my future life to be? Why do I envision it that way? And having those discussions with the other person. So to kind of back up a step, you know, I think it's essential that you have shared attraction. I don't think you should be dating someone that you do not feel any attraction towards. That's an essential part of a foundation. But then that you have shared values and vision. You have a shared faith and you have shared values and vision for how you want to live your life, how you want to grow as a person, and how you want your future family to be. The other stuff, like we love the same TV shows, or we both love to, you know, we both love chocolate ice cream, or, you know, we both love skiing, you know, all those sorts of things. Those are nice too. Those can be like, you know, icing on top, but those are not the most important things because you're not going to spend your whole life skiing every week. You're not going to spend your whole life, you know, eating ice cream every day. I mean, maybe you will, but even if you do, it's okay to have different flavors in the house. You know, my point here is, the key is it's about the shared foundation of values and vision, because the other stuff, and you know, the other stuff can change. Today, you might really love to go to the roller skating rink. Does anybody do that anymore? I don't know if anybody goes roller skating anymore. I'm sure some people do, but maybe today you really love to go bowling. It's like your favorite pastime, your favorite hobby. Well, in 10 years, you might not like going bowling. So that should not be the deal breaker for the person you date. Or maybe you just like, you know, you always wanted the other person to be like, maybe like a 10 on the attractive scale. You're like, I just want to date a 10. Well, first of all, are you a 10? I mean, I think before God, we're all 10s, but you know, if your decision-making for dating is they have to be just so incredibly gorgeous, that is the most important thing. Sorry, it's not. Because first of all, they might get in a car accident while you're married to them and they might be disfigured and you're going to still love them and you're going to still value them and they're going to still love them the rest of your life. And, you know, looks are not the most important thing. You need to be attracted to them. I think that's essential, but it's really about what are your priorities, you know, and the priorities should be your values and then the vision. And that means the big picture vision for your future life, not the little stuff that can be compromised, but the big picture stuff. It's never going to be perfect. There is no such thing as a perfect person out there. They don't exist. You're not perfect. They're not perfect. We're called to strive to be perfect together. And being together in marriage is how we grow in perfection. So don't look for perfect, look for shared values and shared vision. Okay, last principle for dating. The last principle for dating is strong singles make strong couples. Strong singles make strong couples. If you are a strong single, you are gonna make a wonderfully strong marriage, okay? Provided you work on also marrying someone you're equally yoked with, this idea in the Bible of being equally yoked with your future spouse, somebody who is also strong like you, strong in their faith, strong in virtue, you know, strong in the things that you're working on as well. So what does this mean? It means that how you are as a single person is going to be how you are as a dating and a married person. So if you're not dating right now, or if you are, but you're not married yet, work on who you are today. That's one of the best gifts you can give yourself, the future you. It's one of the best gifts you can give your future spouse. And it's one of the best gifts you can give your future kids, Lord willing you have them, is to work on being the best person you can be today. That means, number one, in your habits. This is your physical habits, how you take care of your body. This is your work habits, how you approach your job or your career. This is your relationship habits, how you treat your family and your friends. This is your faith habits, how you approach the creator and the lover of your soul, God, the Trinity, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, how you worship God, how you try to follow and obey God, how you grow as a disciple, as a Christian. So these habits that you're building as a single person are essential to be a successful, not just dater, but ultimately married person, which is what we're going for, what we're hoping for. You need to work and being the best you can be as a single person. God has given you this time in your life when you're single for you to grow. This is not wasted time. It's not that, oh, my life hasn't started yet because I'm not in a relationship. No, no, no. Your life has started today. Your life today matters. Your life today is a gift. And today, God has things he wants to teach you. He wants to give you graces and inspirations. He wants to give you ways that he wants to help you grow. That's the amazing love of God. So today, as a single person, and also, I always say this, you're not promised tomorrow. I'm not promised tomorrow. You might not be here tomorrow. I might not be here tomorrow. We might be dead. You know, we're not promised to be alive tomorrow. Something might happen. We might die. So what you do today matters as a single person, and how you grow today matters. And some of the basic tips, and this will be another episode I'll have about how we can just grow as a person in our daily life with healthy habits. But this is about, you know, our mental health. Are we taking care of it? Do we have wounds or traumas from our past that we can go to therapy for, or counseling for? Our spiritual life? Do we have a good spiritual life in the sense that we are striving to grow and get closer to God? You know, it's never going to be good enough, because the point of Christian life is to try to become perfect as Christ is perfect. That's how demanding our Lord is. He says, be perfect as I am perfect. I mean, that's a big command from Jesus. But the only way we can do it is through the narrow gate, the narrow way of humility, by really opening ourselves up totally to God and just being, here I am, do with me what you will, and being willing to take that time to pray every day, being willing, if you're a Catholic, to go to Mass. I try to go daily, or at least multiple times throughout the week, to receive the Eucharist, going to confession, really having accountability, having a spiritual director or a mentor, someone that you check in with weekly or at least every month to see how your progress is, you know, studying the Bible, studying the teachings of Christ and his church. I mean, these are essential ways to grow in our faith. And it's a matter of just putting these things into practice and doing them even when it's tough. And similarly with our physical health, you know, taking time to even just go on a walk or go on a workout, making sure we eat healthy meals. We're not just eating Doritos all day. You know, if you're eating Doritos all day, it's right now, it's going to be really hard to suddenly change that habit when you're dating this amazing person and not just be stuffing your mouth with Doritos around them. Or when you're like a parent and you're like having Doritos for lunch and your baby is like, you know, malnourished. I mean, it's probably not going to work like that. But the point is, what you do today is a habit that you're creating for tomorrow. So be healthy today, both physically, work on your mental health, and then, of course, work on getting closer to God and growing in your faith, because our Lord, he will always give us enough grace. He's there with the graces. He's there with the inspiration, with the mercy, with the things he wants to teach us. We just have to open ourselves up to him and take the time to spend time with God. That is so essential. So strong singles make strong couples. To be good at dating and eventually at marriage, we have to be good, yes, at being single. And part of this too, you know, is to remember, look, our identity is not in whether or not we're in a relationship right now. Our identity is in, guess what? God. Our identity is in the fact that we are daughters and sons of God. That's a big deal. Think about that for a minute. Daughters and sons of God. God is bigger than we can imagine. He's all powerful. He's all good. He's bigger than all the galaxies combined. You know, he the whole world he created. He created every star. He created every grain of sand, every leaf. I went hiking with Joe last weekend, and it was amazing looking at the trees and all the little plants along the trail. God made every single one. That's how big God is. But then God is also infinitely intimate. I mean, he came into the world as Jesus as a baby to be held and kissed by Mary and Joseph and anybody who came by. He gave himself as a man, fully man, fully human, as much as fully God, to die on a cross. That's how naked on a cross, totally naked on a cross. That's how much he loved us, to die for our sins. And that's how intimate he is with us, that he's just completely giving himself as a physical, you know, as a human in his complete bodily humanity. And at the same time, all powerful, all, you know, all immense God, eternal God. So get to know God. That's your identity. You're a son and you're a daughter, or you're a daughter of God. That's huge. And that's, if you know that, if you're rooted in that, if your experience of life is through that lens of God, your father, then dating and marriage are going to be transformed. And guess what? You're going to help other people that you date and the person you're marry get closer to God as well, because you're living that. So that is at the heart, the point of, I think, everything is to be rooted in our identity as sons and daughters of God. So strong singles make strong couples. Your strongness as a single person rooted in your identity as a daughter or son of God is going to ultimately lead you to successful dating and to being part of a strong couple. So 6 points, went through them. Keep your focus on the purpose. Realize your responsibility. Don't be afraid to break up. Pay attention to red flags. Shared values and vision, faith are essential. And strong singles make strong couples. In closing, I want to share one other thought. The end for all of this, for dating, for friendship, for any of our human relationships, for marriage, the end is eternity. That's the point. The end goal is for us to get to heaven, to be with God forever, and to have all others be in heaven with us. That's what God desires for all humankind, if we're willing to accept him and accept his grace. And that's what he wants for us. So that really will transform the way we think about our families, our relationships with friends, our parents, siblings, and of course, people we're dating, is that the end, you know, if we're dating, the end is not just to marry them or not. The end is to be in eternity with them forever. And, you know, maybe on earth it won't work out, or maybe, you know, maybe unfortunately somebody will break up with us that we wanted to be with, or we thought we wanted to be with. But the point is, the end is eternity. The goal is eternity. The goal is for them to be holier and better people because of the way we treated them with respect and with love, and for us to be holier and better people on our journey on this earth towards heaven. That is the end game for all of us, and I hope to see all of you there. Lord willing, I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling just like you, but I have confidence and trust in the saving power of Christ. And yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for anyone listening that we're going to have eternity together, and, you know, Lord willing and by his grace. And what a fantastic, amazing gift that we've all been given. So yeah, thanks all for listening. I'm going to head to a dentist appointment now, but it's been great getting to talk to you about dating, and I'm sure I'll do other episodes that tackle related topics. But yeah, thanks all for joining, and have a great rest of the day. As always, I love hearing from you guys. If anybody has any thoughts or questions or feedback for me for this topic of persecution, for this episode, I would love to hear from you. You can email me at thoughts@lilaroseshow.com. That's thoughts@lilaroseshow.com. If you found this podcast helpful, useful, interesting, please give it 5 stars. Your rating helps us reach more people.